There's a missionary who was with us last week by the name of Kuku Matthews. He's a missionary from India to India. We've been supporting and partnering him for quite some time. I would also say that guy's a guy on fire. If you've been able to hear him or be a part of him being here at any time, he's a guy who's also on fire. He just doesn't stop doing what God calls him to do. He's faced relentless persecution and setbacks and resistance in India, northern India primarily, but continues to plow through, push through, pray through, preach through, prophesy through, do all kinds of things in order to continue to do what God has called him to do. Has reached thousands of people, as you heard his story last week, and we try to update you many times throughout the year as we get updates. But just want to give credit to you guys as a church. We took up received a love offering for his missions ministry last week. You guys gave over $1,653 last week. Isn't that something? I'll tell you this, when he first came in 2018, never met him before, I got a call from a mutual pastor friend of mine, and he says, if you've got time to maybe give him 10 minutes, he's in the area to just share his story about what he's doing, and see if it resonates with you, if it's something that you might want to consider partnering with. And if not, no big deal. Just let, if you have a few minutes. He came. I was not here that Sunday. I was out of town, but he came, and when I got back, Pastor Lindsay's like, "You gotta get this guy back if he's back in the States next year." His few minutes that we gave him just was like set ablaze in this church. You all took an offering up for him that day, and it was like over $1,200 when he went on that day. I got a message from him not long after that, his first visit, and he was just blown away. A church he's never met, people he's never been in contact with, and meeting for the first time. You guys always continue to blow me and so many other people away because you're so kind, you're so generous, you're so giving, and that's a huge thing to be thankful for. And so, but Kuku is back in his native land. Heard from him Wednesday. He was traveling back. And he sends his appreciation and his thanksgiving to you in our church. So thank you for blessing Kuku and for Reach India Missions as well. This guy that wrote this letter, John, a revelation, his name's John the Apostle. He's also a man that was on fire for the Lord. He actually was set on fire with boiling oil for preaching Jesus. The dude survived it, and after surviving it, they banish him to an island called Patmos, 20 miles off the coast of Turkey, a rugged, just dark island, isolated, alone. This is where they would send their prisoners so they couldn't escape, and it was on this island, it opens up in Revelation, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, it said. And Jesus visits him. Jesus shows himself to John, and he tells him this commission, write this letter to these seven churches. And in this particular church, the church of Ephesus, Jesus is concerned about something, as he is with all of the churches. And he makes it known there at the beginning, which is what we covered couple of weeks ago, said that he was walking amongst the golden lampstands, and that symbolism for the lampstands represent the church or the churches. And it said Jesus was walking amongst the churches, and you can see that Jesus cares, and he's checking on his people, and he's concerned for his church. Not that he's scared, not that he's like afraid, like the church isn't going to do what they're supposed to do, because when Jesus is involved in something, it doesn't lose. And one thing he's building is his church. So I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Darkness doesn't win. You read the story, you read the history, you read the ending. The victory belongs to those who are born again and who are in Christ Jesus. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. And so, but he's saying, look, while you're alive, while you're living, there are things that will come against you. There are enemies that will come against you. And we covered three primary enemies 2 weeks ago. The enemy, one of them would be the world, our outer enemy, its systems. Another one would be our flesh, our inner enemy. And the third one would be the devil, that stubborn, won't go away enemy until he will eventually one day when Jesus makes everything brand new, a new heaven and a new earth. And John writes about this, the scriptures talk about this, and Jesus has this one concern because he said these enemies, one of the main objective is to squelch the love of God in our heart, is to prevent God's love from getting bigger and burning brighter and more real inside of all of us. In fact, that is what the concern is that Jesus shares with John for the church at Ephesus. He says, I know your good deeds. He said, I see all the good things you do. I mean, these guys were stellar. These guys were on it. They were committed. All kinds of things. You work hard. You patiently endure. So you have convictions. You don't tolerate evil. He said you appreciate and value truth. And you also, you continue to patiently suffer without quitting. You don't throw in the towel. You haven't stopped. You didn't allow life and all of its hurts and all of its major challenges that come with life to stop you and to prevent you from continuing to serve me. He said, but there is a thing going on in your life right now. You don't love me, Jesus says, or each other as you did at first. Your first love has grown cold. The fire that once burned bright and clear in you for me and for one another, well, it's gotten low. It's gotten low. And he's walking amongst his churches and he's letting the church know, hey, I see your flame. It's not very bright. It's not very bright. You've allowed your oil to get low. You've allowed your supply to get low. You've allowed your flame for me to get low. You do good deeds. You do good works. And here's the problem. We can't rely on our good deeds to be the source that fuels our flame. Because ultimately that will lead to burnout instead of it continuing to burn. Anybody ever been burned out? You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody ever been burned out before? You just have given and given and given and given and given and done and done and done and done and you do and you do and you do and you do and you and all the things you and you just are, you're done. You're exhausted. You're fatigued. And people get on your nerves, right? Life gets on your nerves. Don't understand situations at times. Your perceptions are skewed. Your vision and your outlook on life and situations and other things get messed up because what happens is when love gets low, then what we tend to do, the temptation is, well, I need to do some more. I need to do something else. I need to try to get this myself to feeling back to myself again or feeling a certain way again. And Jesus visits his church and he says, listen, I'm not upset. I'm not mad at you. I just have this thing that I need you to pay attention to because you can't rely on all of your good deeds and all of your good works and all of your performance in order to make your fire be real, to burn in your life. He goes, no, there's more to it than that. Because the enemy will try to squelch the fire, try to put it out, try to extinguish your flame. Absolutely does. The world system, our flesh, we talked all about that. I'm not going to repeat that sermon. But then he gets down and he drills into this in these two verses here in verse 4 and 5. Why is it so important that Jesus talk about our first love? Why is it so important that Jesus bring up this idea about you don't love me or each other as you did at first? Well, it's tied directly to a time when Jesus was on earth in his ministry. It's recorded in three different Gospels, Matthew and Mark and in Luke. And it's a story, or it's a question first that's proposed to Jesus. A religious scholar asks him, what is the greatest commandment to follow? And we're going to look at it here in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, Jesus answered him. And he said, well, it's this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Why is it so important that Jesus touch on and deal with and bring to attention our first love? Because it's tied directly to what is the first and the greatest commandment. Because it's on that and that alone that all the other things are hinged upon. Loving Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. Here's another way to say those words. To orient our lives around Christ. And the way we say it at New Life is to make Jesus the center. You see, when something is the center of your attention and your devotion, then it will be the center of all of your interaction and energy and behavior. Jesus. Orient your lives around Christ. Make him the center. Love Jesus with everything within you. Can't conjure it up. You can't fabricate it. You can't make it happen on your good deeds and good works alone. Those are byproducts of the love that you have in your heart for the Lord. And so Jesus takes note in that in Revelation. He goes, I see it. I take note of it. Duly noted. I'm amazed at it. I love it. But here's the thing. You're burned out. Your flame's low. Your fuel's low. Your oil supply's low. It's burned out. Well, last night we were sitting around the campfire for our evening service at the men's retreat. And fire was going. Thomas brought the remnants of grease. It wasn't grease. It was a fat offering is what it was, off of some good bacon that we had, and lots of bacon that we had. And he comes out, and we're sitting around, and fire's going, and he pours this fat off of that pan down into the fire, and immediately the fire begins to singe the hairs on our arms and our legs because it gets so big. It gets so big. And he made a good point. He goes, this is what they would do in the Old Testament when they would begin to give their offerings and finish up the offerings. And he said the temple where this all took place, in the tabernacle, it was a very messy place. It wasn't spick and span. It was very messy because it's where the sacrifices of the animals were made. Blood was splattered all over the place, all sorts of things like that going on. And they would pour their offering out into the fire. Right, and it would consume it, and that's what happened. The fire was all right, but the offering made it bigger. The offering made it bigger. As we offer ourselves to Jesus, his love gets bigger in our life. Amen. You want to love him more? Offer yourself. You want to love people more? Offer yourself more to the one who is love, Jesus. And his love will love through you, right, James? That was another one of our messages from this weekend. We struggle on loving others. Go to the one who is the source of love and who is love, who is Jesus. Offer ourselves more, and we will begin to see the flame of God's love become brighter and bigger in our life. So why is that so important? But that because Jesus is saying your first love, that is the fire. That is the fire. You can't let that fire burn out. You must do what you got to do to keep that fire always burning bright. Because we're going to go through life and we're going to get tired. We're going to deal with all sorts of different situations in life, and all of that is geared to try to extinguish God's fire in our life. and which requires us to then realize, I cannot do life by myself. I can't will it enough, white knuckle it enough, willpower it enough, you know, have good positive vibes enough. I must offer myself constantly to the Lord and let His flame consume me, and His love will grow in me. Think about your first, very time, your first love of Jesus. How when you first encountered Him and He filled your life, came into your life, how much you loved everybody. There was probably hardly a person you would meet when any one of us first became born again and saved. The love of God was so tangible, so real. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. You loved everybody. But what happens? Life happens, right? People happen. Bills happen. Sickness happens. Death happens. Challenges happen. And then through every little thing, it starts trying to poke holes and smother our fire. And what must we do? Keep coming back to Him and offer ourselves to Him. And as we do that, His flame in our life will grow, which is exactly what He tells us to do. Let's look at this. The last part of this, verse 5. Your love's grown cold. Your fire's gone out. What do we do? How do we get it back? He says, look how far you have fallen. Remember how you used to love the Lord with passion, how you used to love Him with fervency, how you used to love Him with great trust. You could trust the Lord with anything. Everything. You gave your whole life. You put eternity in His hands. You put eternity in His hands, and He saved you. And He forgave you. And He washed you. And He made you clean. And He completely switched how eternity would play out for you. No longer damned for hell, but destined for heaven. Forever connected and joined with your Creator, Father God, who loves you and loves me. Say, remember how you used to love Him with so much inside of you. There's a young man in the Bible, in Timothy. His name's Timothy. He had a mentor named Paul. Paul elects to write a final letter of his life. It's his last words. The scholars believe it's his very last letter he wrote, and he wrote it to Timothy, whom he mentored, whom he recognized God's call in his life to pastor a church that Paul helped lead and start and build and establish. And he set Timothy in to pastor the church. So years have gone by, and Timothy doesn't say exactly, but I kind of can read between the lines some a little bit, a little creative thinking. Perhaps Timothy had gotten to a place where ministry was hard, ministry was challenging, not seeing the results that he had hoped to see. So maybe some people had fallen away from faith. Their hearts had gotten cold and they decided, you know, I'm out. Peace out. And they were no longer serving the Lord, no longer active in this church. Maybe there was turmoil, maybe there was some tension, maybe there was some conflict that had never gotten resolved. Paul writes to Timothy, and it's a familiar verse to most of us. And he starts it out, and he says, I pray for you, but also I remember something about you, Timothy. I remember the faith that resides in you, that faith that's generational. Your grandmother had it. your mother had. It was passed on to you. Now, you can hear the encouraging, strengthening words of Paul to Timothy to say, look, I know you're struggling right now. I know it can be challenging in your life right now and what God has called you to do in ministry right now. But listen, I know that faith is deep on the inside of you. I believe God's call for you that back then is the same as it is right now. That's probably one of the biggest questions Pastor Prentice asked me for many years. He said, your first 5 years here are going to be some of the most challenging years of pastoring. It just happens. It goes through testing. And you're going to wonder, did God call me here? He said, you got to ask yourself that, and you got to answer yourself that honestly. If God called you here, then you don't quit. Then you don't quit. Remember that, Pastor Prentice? He's been like a Paul to me, challenging me, encouraging me, strengthening me. I know that faith's inside of you, Jeremy. He would call me out of the blue and say, I just wanted to encourage you today. And that's what Paul did with Timothy. And this is what he encouraged him. Look at it in verse 6. He said, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. I remind you to fan into flame, to rekindle the fire, to rekindle the embers that are on the inside of you. In other words, that fire in Timothy had gotten low, perhaps close to being snuffed out. And Paul reminded him, God is in you. Your faith is there, but I need you to do something. You need to rekindle that fire. You need to rekindle that flame that's on the inside of you. Come on, we all need a friend. We all need a mentor. We all need a leader. We all need a person in our life that will reach out to us and reach into us and tell us at times, look, I see that you're struggling right now, but I want to encourage you, don't let the fire burn out. Don't let the fire burn out. Don't let it get low. Don't let it go out. Come on and pour some more fat offering on that flame. Offer yourself more to the Lord. And don't let that fire go. We all need a friend. We all need a mentor. And we need a person that will do that in our life. Because sometimes we don't always recognize it. We're just pushing through, plowing through, going through the motions, doing the things, trying to get through the day, right? Just trying to get through the day and get on to the next thing. Looking forward to bed as soon as you wake up sometimes. I find myself there some days. Get up, like, man, I'm looking forward to going to bed tonight. I'm tired. Trying to drink my coffee, a little cup of motivation. And I need about 3 or 4 of them some days, sometimes more. If the truth be told, I drink a pot all morning. I love coffee. Anybody love coffee? We had a lot of coffee at men's retreat. It was good coffee. But we need people in our life. Jesus told John to tell the church, remember. Remember how you used to love me. Remember how you just used to love people. So you need to think about that. You need to reflect on that. Because that was real. That was real. Then he tells him another thing. Says, look how far you've fallen. Then he says, turn back to me. Repent. I know that word sometimes can strike an odd nerve in us. Repent. But probably from hearing and seeing and being exposed to so many things in life about preaching and the gospel and all these things. And repent. Signs turned up, held up, you know. Turn or burn. And stuff like that. And you would hear the word repentance, kind of like, I don't know. It does that to me sometimes. But here's what Jesus is saying. I believe in repentance. It's necessary. And it's not a one and done thing. It's lifestyle. It's lifestyle, because here's what Jesus is saying. Let's look at his words. He said, turn back to me. In other words, he's saying your flame is going out. Your love is going low because you turned away from me. Turn back to me. Turn your face in the direction of your heart and your life back to me. That is repentance. Now, to me, when I hear Jesus say it that way, oh, okay. I'm sorry for trying to keep doing it my way. It takes the image of Jesus doing this to it, upside the head all the time. Now, he has a way of getting our attention. Don't get me wrong. He has a way of getting our attention. But he's saying, look, I have your attention. I want your attention because all I want you to do is turn back to me. Here's what happens when we turn back to Jesus. And this is something we have to do every day. Because all of our hearts are prone to wander. All of our thoughts and our minds try to take us away, because that's one of the enemies, the flesh, our inner enemy. Our old nature that is contrary to our new nature in Christ, they're contrary to one another. They butt heads. It's all about which one are we going to let win? Which one do we feed more? Which one do we pay attention to more? And the more we turn back to Jesus, the more the new nature gets stronger and better and bigger and healthier in our life. And the weaker our old sinful nature becomes. He says, turn back to me. He goes, here's what happens when we turn back to Jesus. When we live a life of repentance, it replenishes the oil in our life. Replenishes the oil in our life. And the oil is what supplies to the heat and to the flame to keep it constantly lit and constantly burning. He says, remember, repent. And then he says this, to get the flame back, to get the love back, for it to constantly grow and keep fresh. He says, turn back, look how far you've come, or look how far you've fallen, turn back to me, and then do the works you did at first. I know, that sounds real complicated. Why do we complicate relationship with God? It sounds real challenging. So hard to do. Do the works you did at first. When I see those words, when I see that statement from Jesus, he said, remember, repent, and this just keep repeating. Keep repeating. How do you build good habits? Keep doing them over and over again, right? Keep doing them over and over and over and over. And over, and over, and over. Right? And when you do that, though, what happens sometimes? It becomes monotonous. It gets boring sometimes. Gets boring. Can get old. So what do you have to do? Remember. Remember how it felt? Remember how it felt? You can't take that away. If it gets old and it gets boring, what do? Turn back to Jesus. Lord, my heart's gotten cold. My love's gotten low. What do? Just turn back to love. Turn back to love. And then what happens? The fire kicks in. The fire and the flame ignite. The embers start to get brighter, start to get warmer. The heat comes, the light comes. Just repeat it. I'm reminded of, at the very beginning of the church in Acts 2, 3,000 people came to Christ. And it said they immediately, all of them, devoted themselves. We talked, did a whole series on this not long ago. They devoted themselves to the Word of God, to prayer, to worship, to the communion table, to those elements and what they stand for. They devoted themselves to one another, serving and giving, pouring themselves out to one another. And then that was the beginning, and that was the norm of the church, how all of that started. In closing, look at this with me. It's in the Message version. Paul to the Romans, Romans chapter 12. Paul says this, "Don't burn out." But what do? "Keep yourselves fueled and aflame." In other words, you're going to come to a place in life many different times where you're going to be burned out and where your fuel and your flame is going to be really, really low. But he said, whatever you do, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Be alert servants. Be cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Sounds kind of like the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. Help other Christians and be inventive in hospitality. It says a lot of similarities there to the early church in Acts 2, to the church in Ephesus, to what Paul's preaching and teaching the Romans. So don't burn it out. Don't burn out, but keep yourselves fueled and aflame. You know, that is one of the beautiful things about the communion table. The communion table and the elements. They are so, they're a sacred act of worship that Jesus left us, for us to practice, for us to come to often, to come to this table often. And he says, as often as you come to this table and you take the bread and the cup of the new covenant, he says, what happens is you will remember. You come to it to remember me. To remember me. You see, the communion table draws us back to what Jesus said to John in Revelation 2. Remember your first love. Be at a place that causes you to want to repent, to want to turn back to Jesus. And not strive out of your own effort and be dependent on your own good deeds to get you through and to keep the fire going. No, turn to love and let love fill you. And then repeat, Jesus said, as often as you do this. In other words, man, the more we come and are reminded of this table and what it means, it does something for us. It does something in us. Because here's the thing, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 tells us that when you find yourself flagging in your faith, when you find your flame low, when you find your love growing cold, here's what he says to do. Go over that story of Jesus again and again and again. That long litany of hostility that he plowed through. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, go over that story again and again and again, how he did it. And he says, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. You know what adrenaline does? It's amazing, a crazy thing how adrenaline will work. Your heart pumps so fast, your blood flows so quick, and you find yourself, sometimes I've heard people pick up vehicles. Their adrenaline was so pumping through their veins and through their body that they had this supernatural strength where they could just pick up a vehicle because someone was trapped under it. He said, that's what this story about Jesus will do as we remember what he did for us. It will shoot adrenaline into our souls. When we're having a tough day, when we're having a hard season, when things are getting the best of us, remember what Jesus did for you. That will shoot adrenaline, spiritual adrenaline, into your souls to snap and to quicken you and to nudge you to think, oh, wait a minute, what am I thinking right now? What am I doing right now? Why am I in this place right now? No, I am remembering Jesus and his great sacrifice and his love for my life, and it shoots adrenaline into your souls, and it causes us to want to keep turning back to Jesus. Here's the thing. Jesus gave John the revelation of this letter to write for the churches of that time and the application for churches throughout every generation that would come after. Because there won't be a generation, a day that goes by that people's hearts are tempted to grow cold. I've been walking with Jesus. He's been walking with me now for over 33 years. Been in full-time ministry 26 years this year. This is my 16th year to pastor here. I'm only 48, about to be 49. I got a lot of life in front of me. I got a lot of precious people to shepherd. I still got family I'm raising. I got a daughter who's in worship college. Living the dream. I want to see them. I want to see you and every person God puts in my care to finish the race, to keep the faith, and to fight the good fight. I want to be like John Wesley. Set yourself on fire with passion so that everybody will not only watch me burn, but will catch fire and run with God. I don't want to see life keep you down. I don't want to see disease rob you from your purpose. I don't want to see jacked up situations prevent you from what God has called you to do. I don't want to see you behind in the race. And so from time to time, yeah, I get flagging in my faith. But I got to level with you. I've been praying for the Lord to stir up my first love again. That I don't want to rely on my old antics of doing things. I don't want to be dependent on me. I need a fresh supply of heavenly oil to pour into this vessel. Not for performance or show, but so that 7 days a week, every single day, I can live faithfully obedient to the call of God on my life. I don't want to live letting life frustrate me to where it blurs my perception of reality. I want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I want to be, this last week, the Lord laid, I don't know how many people on my mind that I hadn't called or talked to in quite some time, but he just put them before me. I woke up with them on my mind, and I said, oh, well, I got to text them, or at least try to call them, and let them know I'm praying for you. I want to be that way all the time. I'm not. I'm going to get mad if the Dallas Cowboys lose to the 49ers tonight. And I'm going to be like, what are you doing over there? Come on, you make all this money and you can't score a touchdown? Give me some of it. I'll do something with it. Where am I going? We got to come to the table. Here's the invite. You want more of God? You want him to set a fire down in your soul? You want him to light that flame that won't burn out? You want to love Jesus more? You want to love people more? It comes together. It's a total package. You can't have one without the other. Come on, we're called to this. Let's remember what he's done. Let's have a life of repentance by constantly, daily turning back to the Lord. And let's do the works we did at first. Give ourselves to the Word. Pray, worship, encourage, foster fellowship. be together, strengthen one another, serve, give, all of the things you just keep doing. You just keep doing. Let's stand. I invite you forward to the table. The bread, the cup of the new covenant. And when you come today to the table, I just maybe take a minute before you do any, before you eat it. Stand before the Lord. I think the question was asked by Megan earlier. What do you need God to revive in you? Pray that before eating and consuming the elements. Pray that. Lord, we thank you. We love you. And we thank you that you care for us, that you love us, that you see us. You take your time to walk amongst us, to check on us, to check on the flame of our heart and the love we have. Today, revive us. Reignite that flame. Rekindle that fire. Not a feeling, but a real passion that's connected to you. In Jesus' name.